Blog Talk Radio.
On the Edge, real talk about real issues.
Welcome, everybody, to the On the Edge show with Katie Barnett and friends. I'm your host, Katie Barnett. Okay, guys, we were back on Monday, and I want to thank all of you that stood out with us during our little glitch in the beginning. As you know, we've been out for a while. I've been on a sick health hiatus, but we announced that we are back bigger than ever with a big project that we have been behind the scenes promising you we will be bringing you over the last 4 years, and we have. So my beautiful team, Lady Diamond, Elaine Yeves, and Miss Lady Lace, Darlene Cox Owens, we've gotten together and we've brought you On the Edge Networks, LLC. So before we do all that, let me first give thanks to God for being here, because Lord knows without him, there's no promises. Definitely thanking my team once again, Lady Diamond, Elaine Yeves, and Darlene Cox Owens, and the contributors to all of this, Deacon Judge Steady John Williams has been a part of it as well. I want to thank all of my social media guys out there that have been constantly hitting us up, wondering where we're going and whether we're coming back. Thanks all of you for your support. And to all of you listeners, you cherished family out there, thank you very much. Without you, our mission would be nothing, and this would be nothing as well. So tonight, we are going to be touching on a very sensitive and important and delicate subject. And we're going to be dealing with grief of the loss of a child. Now, you guys all know that one of my stories is I've lost a child when he was only 2.5 months. But this topic was inspired because there's been so many crazy children's deaths that's been happening for senseless reasons, at the hands of their own parents, for people being drunk and jumping the road, for people who had just had tragic accidents. Like, example, there were 2-3-year-old twins that were found dead in their mother's pool in the backyard, and they were critical at first, and now they're no longer. So this is something that is plaguing us as a regular thing now, and it's a problem. But on the other hand, I think something even bigger is after losing a child, which is something that is unthinkable, then we have to deal with the fact that so many people who don't know how to deal with their discomfort of it say the wrong things. They mean well, but they say the wrong things. And we are going to be touching on helping draw some support tonight by having you call in if you've dealt with the loss of a child, or if you are the loved one who may have said something wrong to someone meaning to do the right thing. We want to touch today on what not to say and to help all of those that are going through this get through their next second, because that's something that needs to be understood. So without further ado, we're going to go out with our sponsors commercials, as well as our pre-broadcast discussion song, and then we are going to be coming back with Wellness Wednesday, our very first one tonight, touching on dealing with the ignorance while grieving the loss of a child. So we're going to get back in just a little bit. So don't go away, and we'll be right back.
New York, New York. There's no place like it. You figure that out when you find yourself in a bit of trouble while vacationing or visiting in Florida. And Florida cops are sure as heck not like New York City cops. You're feeling more than put out or simply just confused with it all. But you want justice. You need it to be right, and you want someone who understands where you're coming from. You need Kenneth Foote, attorney at law. Graduate of St. John's University and Florida Stetson University, he'll make sure you're back on track and everything straightened away. Driving violations, personal injury, drug charges, he's here to work with you as well as for you. Leave nothing to chance. KL Foote Attorneys at Law, 877-90-FOOTE or klfoot.com. Kenneth Foote, The New Yorker, to contact in Florida.
The On the Edge Show with KD Barnett and friends, the show that gives you real talk about real issues, needs your help. KD and the gang are seeking out individuals and local business sponsors to help fund their projects for youth and minority communities to become re-empowered, featuring programs like the Spread Your Wings Showcase, offering free advertising to up-and-coming entrepreneurs, Youth Day giving public school grades 4 to 12 a taste of the arts, and All Hands on Deck, our new writer's showcase. On the Edge is looking to give back to our communities by giving our youth a future. Your small contribution will make a difference. Individuals or small businesses can choose to be a sponsor for any amount of time. And businesses can also choose to advertise with us at very reasonable rates. Choose any type of show sponsorship, and you just may be a sponsor for a life. Visit us at Facebook at facebook.com On the Edge Show for more information on how you can be a part of our vision. We hope to see you there.
Now, back with more On the Edge.
Ladies and gentlemen, we had a little mic glitch again. I'm so sorry. Let's just do this here. We're speaking today on dealing with ignorance while you're grieving your child's death, okay? And one of the things that we have to bring awareness to is that in order for us to get better with our community, with helping people deal with the grief stage, is by letting them feel validated in grieving and then helping them feel supported and then helping them get to that healthy point in their life where grief is supposed to come to a softer point and not be the controlling factor in your everyday movements. So I want to get to speaking on most of the common things that are said to a grieving parent. So I want to bring this back up again, and I do apologize for those of you who have been through this. Thank you very much once again for sticking through our mic issues. I want to explain that dealing with the death of a child is one of the most sensitive, delicate situations, because out of all types of losses of a loved one that you could experience, there's something different and unique about losing a child. Losing a child is different because no one expects you to outlive your offspring. Your offspring, in your mind, you have plans for. They're supposed to grow up and give you babies, and those babies give babies, and by the time that they die, where you'll never be around to witness it. So it's hard for society to fathom that there could be any reason why a child who's deemed innocent, who's associated with angels, but not by death, angels are because they're pure and innocent, could be taken too early. Those of you, once again, if I have to repeat this because of the mic situation, I am a mom who lost a child at 2.5 months old after his birth. And I lost him to one of those type of deaths that are so cruel because there's no understanding. There's no reason. No one has a cause. You can't go to any experts to get any answers. There's no closure to it. You just have to accept that your baby was one of 1,000 babies every year at that time that dies to SIDS, to sudden infant death syndrome. And they call it that blanket name because they can't figure out what the hell happens. They can't understand why these babies just can't live. And they tell you that down the line they may have caught something, but at the time that your child's life was taken, they don't have any of these, of all the advanced technologies in the world that the medical world has. They do not have a test that your newborn baby can take that can screen for things that can possibly cause this to happen. Now they can tell you, well, sleeping position could be an issue. But 9 times out of 10, the babies that died at that time that could not be, that whatever that illness was, there was no advanced test that can detect it in a child that small.
either that it wouldn't have developed in time, or just that there's no test that's able to detect it in time. But those babies die, and there's just nothing to say about it. And I'm telling you that 27 years later, I still remember that day that I couldn't find any reason why my son just didn't wake up. Why the night before he was all cranky and nobody could tell me why. Why he couldn't breathe after half an ounce of nursing or a bottle without gasping for air for dear life. And no one could say to me, that was the reason why your child died for no reason. And if you told me to this day, things get better with time, the only thing I could tell you 27 years later is that I'm not stagnated by it, and when I cry, I can actually get up and laugh again. That's the only thing I could tell you. Does the pain go away? Absolutely not. Do I forget my son? Absolutely not. Did time make him not be a part of my children? Absolutely not. So telling somebody that things get better with time, telling somebody that time heals all wounds, our child is not a wound. And as much as you mean well, you make things worse. Let's move on. And this is actually, I'm going to give you a stillstandingmag.com, an article that was written by, okay, what is this man's name? Was written by, okay, photos by Angela Miller. Okay, they're not telling you who this author was, but it was written, they took 10 of the most, or 6 of the most common misdirected or unintentionally ignorant things people say to a bereaved parent. This happens because people don't know how to deal with the death of a child. They just don't know how to deal with the discomfort, the tragedy, the injustice of it. So instead of not saying anything or just saying, I really don't know what to say to you, so I'm just going to be here for you, because in their mind that sounds stupid, but you know what? At the end of the day, it's not about how stupid you think you look or how cool you look. It's about what that parent needs if you're going to offer anything. And the best thing that you can do for a bereaving parent is to not try to invalidate, shorten, truncate, consolidate the grieving process that they are going through. There's 3-year-old twins that just were found dead in their mom's pool in the backyard. Do you really think that she wants to hear that she needs to have faith and nobody is going to make under, is going to be okay? I'm sorry. That her faith won't get us through it and that time's going to take that away. If you read a little further past this, these were her miracle babies. She had lost so many pregnancies before these babies actually came to pass. So what makes you think that you telling someone time heals all wounds or things will get better with time, when she could barely have these, that's going to help her remember? And she lost 2 at one time. 2. 10-year-old just got killed in a car crash a few months ago. Happened to be a very, very close friend of mine. She's not feeling better with time or being able to understand why people are telling her that it's time to move on already, that at least she has another daughter she can turn to, which, by the way, is on the number 2 list of stupid things to say. You don't tell someone who lost a child that because they have 5 others or 6 others or 1 other, that that is a good thing for them. At least you have this one. At least she didn't suffer. At least, why do you think that makes any type of comfort happen to a parent that just lost their child? What makes anyone think that any one child could replace another? If you in the world don't understand this, for those of you who've never had children, even a fetus that the world doesn't want to say is a child is a mother's baby, is a father's baby. When a woman miscarries, She grieves and grieves as if she met this child, that they had Christmases together. She had memories with them. So can you imagine if this baby actually was born, developed a personality, developed a bond that they and now they're gone for whatever reason? How much more grief is involved? Number three thing never to say to a parent who's bereaving. Have faith. Have faith. I am a Christian. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe in the Lord. I believe in the Holy Spirit. And I could tell you right now that there was absolutely nothing, about my faith that was involved with my grief. Grieving doesn't happen because you don't believe in God. Grieving doesn't happen because you have a lack of faith. Grieving happens because you are hurting. It isn't fair to the bereaved parent that people say things to fill in their own comfort or to assuage their own discomfort. Rather than not say anything at all, just say, I'm here for you. Whatever you need from me, I'm here for you. Help them celebrate what was good about their child. Help them look at the pictures that they want you to look at. And if you can't handle that, then kindly excuse yourself and allow them to respect your honesty. Everything happens for a reason. There's no way any bereaved parent is going to understand what divine intervention or universal need or cosmic cause it would be associated with the loss of their child. Absolutely not. And that would be something that would make a parent go bananas. Additionally, saying things like, they're in a better place. To a bereaved parent's ears, that sounds like, so they're in a better place other than with me? What better place could there be than with the two parents that love them most? Things like this have got to come to a wrap, to an end, because you mean well, and clearly nobody is walking around thinking that you're deliberately trying to tell a mother or a father that their child's death had a reason. You might be able to tell them that years down the road, and you better have something really good to connect it to and to show for it. No one understands why their child would die, period. So much happens with the death of a child. It breaks up marriages. It severs relationships with siblings. I know I've kicked many people out of my house when they said things that sounded so off. And I wasn't trying to think of them not meaning to say anything wrong. At that particular time, I felt like you should have known better. And that's what a bereaved parent is going to think. Do you really think I need for you to tell me that I should have watched my child walk down the aisle, and you know, walk down the living room in the other direction? Do you really think I need you to tell me that, you know, maybe that it was a good thing for it to happen because I can't afford to have a nice house for my child? People say things like this, thinking it's going to make things better or it's going to help you feel better about a situation that might be something that bothers you. Never start a sentence with at least this. At least he died young. At least you can have more children. At least she didn't suffer. At least you got as long of a life with them as you did with you know, as you could. At least you had the chance to love. And that might all well be great things to say, but not at that moment. Or maybe never. Be thankful that you can have more children. Be thankful for the children you have. Be thankful you had him or her at all. So these are some things that happen. They're common things. Now, I'm actually going to ask all of you to call in if you've been through this and share something that you can actually offer to this discussion. If you lost a child and someone said something to you that you know they didn't mean it, and even if you have sort of gotten past your ripped to shreds point, call in and let me know how you took it. What did you? What happened because of it? Share how, if you got over it, how did that happen? And then offer some things to people who may not be able to understand what we're going through, you know, or what, why that's so wrong. So the number here, once again, is 347-327-9967. What I would like for you to do is to make sure that if you want to speak, you press 1. I'm going to take a little short commercial break. I'll be back with your questions, okay? Don't go away.
Just the guitar. Okay, cool.
This was all you, none of it me. You put your hands on my body and told me, told me you were ready for the big one, for the big jump. I'd be your last love, everlasting you and me. That was what you told me.
Welcome back, everybody, to the On the Edge Show with Katie Barnett and friends. I am very happy to be here speaking about this particular subject today, because there are so many people that are out there that have been losing their children, nowadays, and there's so many people who don't know how to deal with the grief of it all. The parents are dealing with grief as well, but people are saying things because, you know, on the whole, humans don't know how to deal with the fact that children die, and they don't know how to deal with the death of a child or how to deal with the parents who are grieving the death of a child. So what they say are things that they mean well by, but they say the wrong type of thing. So we were going over a few things that should not be said, as well-meaning or well-intentioned as they are, because to believed ears, they're meaning something else. We actually have a caller on the line. Let me bring them in. And the question that we're asking is, what have you heard things or what type of things can be said to a bereaving parent that can be taken out of context and should not be said? So I'm going to bring them in now. And hang on, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the show, caller. You're on the air. Welcome to
hello?
The show. Yes, hello?
Hello? Hello?
Hello? Yeah, welcome to the show.
Hello?
Welcome to the On the Edge show.
Can you
welcome
hear me?
Welcome to the On the Edge show.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes, can you hear me? Hello?
Welcome to the, yes, we hear you. Do you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay. Welcome to the On the Edge show. Who am I speaking with?
This is Deacon Zeddy Williams.
Hey, how are you? Welcome back
how are
to
you?
The show. I'm
yeah,
fine.
And welcome you back to the airwaves.
All right. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We are Skin Tonight. I don't know how long you've been listening, but this is Wellness Wednesday. Today's topic is dealing with ignorance while dealing with grieving a child's death. So.
Right.
We brought up quite a few things that people normally say. It's mainly six common things that they say that absolutely they mean well, but it's either
right.
Really bad thing to say at that moment, or they don't understand the impact of how it sounds when it comes out. So we're trying to help a lot of people understand how to help the loved ones that they are watching be hurt or be grieving their child's loss. I'm going to ask you things that are said, for example, everything happens for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
Things get better with
wow.
time. Time heals all wounds.
Mm-hmm. Right.
If you would have had faith, you know, you would be getting better by now. Oh, the other thing, it's time to move on. Let's go. You know, you're hanging on too much. That's why you're so sad. It's time to let go and start living again.
Right.
So I'm going to ask your opinion on how these things sound to you. What are these things that are not bad things to say, or could they be said differently?
Well, okay. Basically, I'm going to start because my opinion is basically nothing you can say to a bereaved parent that has lost a child. Nothing. All you could do is just, you know, for a while let them go through what they need to go through as far as their bereavement. But it's not too many things you can say because it seems like whatever comes out doesn't seem like it's the right thing to say. You know, I don't know what it's like to lose a child. I hope I never have to experience that, but I have lost some loved ones that were very close to my heart. And those people that I have lost, it was a while for me to be able to deal with and continue on with my life because I was so, you know, hurt behind it. And that wasn't even my child. That's why I say in my opinion, there's nothing basically you could say to a bereaved parent but just try and be there for them and try and uplift them and try and say an encouraging word. And like I said, there's not too much you can say, but, you know, I mean, just all you can do is just be there for them. That's just my opinion.
Oh, that's actually what was actually said by this expert. That's what many parents think of it. You know, there's, and especially losing a child, there's grief that's involved on many different levels as well because I lost a newborn. I don't know how. I used to think that was probably the worst thing in the world, you know, the worst type. But then I think about this. The newborn, you finally got, it's, you love your children no matter what stage of life they're in. Like I explained earlier, you know, even pregnant women that are early on in pregnancy, they're already attached to that little being that's in there that's growing. And, you know, they're looking forward to the next stage of their life in utero, and then as well as outside. So newborn, I got a lot of, well, at least he was little, you know, and he's a baby, and, you know, you're pregnant again, so you have other babies coming. And, you know, there was plenty of things that, you know, you want to look at people and go, can you get the hell out of my house, please? Like, those, these are not the things that you say. This is a son. I'm having a daughter. This was, you know, this was one child. This is another. He would have been 27, and I'm still sitting here saying to myself, it still hurts. I remember every Christmas, I still include him. I still miss him. Every birthday, he would have been this age. Every before the birthday, I remember what was happening up until the time he was about to be born.
Yeah. Like I said, there's really no right words to say to somebody that's bereaving, especially when it's their child. Because there's nothing. I mean, like I said, you can just be there for support. And then a lot of times the best thing to say is nothing. Sometimes though, the best things to do is just to say nothing, just be there for them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That is definitely something that we have to get better with spreading awareness on some of these things. I started Wellness Wednesday because it's not just this. There's plenty of other things that people who actually have not gone through it will never understand, or doesn't try to take the moment to think about what they're saying. I understand, ladies and gentlemen, that it is very rough to see someone dealing with the loss of a child. It's unthinkable. So imagine the parent that's thinking about it. Everybody at one point in their life looks forward to having a child to have their legacy live on. So the fact that that's never going to happen, well, at least to that child, you know, it's a hard thing to deal with. Now, you're telling somebody that, oh, well, you know, time heals everything. Everything happens for a reason. They're in a better place now because you want to dismiss the discomfort, because you want to just move past it already, because you want it to be over. Do you understand that there have been physical aches and pains that parents have felt when their child...
Hello? Hello?
For moms that weren't nursing, they just were feeling aches and pains because anytime they would hold their child, when that time was missing, they would feel the aches and the pains in the arms. That was said at a lot of SID support groups, of support groups for people who lost their children tragically.
Yeah.
And these are things that people will never understand. They'll never understand it. And if they don't try to get into understanding why grief goes on so long, they're going to do nothing but be aggravated with it. And that is an issue with why a lot of these things happen, why people are projecting grief in a way that can be violent to some people, that can be damaging to themselves and other people, why a lot of their loved ones can't seem to move past it because no one has sat there and taken the time to understand what it is. There's a lot of unexplainable pain that a parent's going through as well, where they can't express what it is about the pain that they can't deal with.
Right.
And that's really something that has to come to an end. It has to come to an end. There has to be a way that, you know, with all these fancy you know, medical things that are out there, somebody has to be able to get to the bottom of what it feels like for all parties involved. The ones that are watching their loved ones grieve and don't know how to get out of it. The parents that are grieving and don't have the right support or channel or connection that will help them not understand the death per se, but understand that, you know, there is nothing you can do at this moment except try to remember what was good about his life and not what was bad about their death. That's something that you can approach a person with later down the line, because as time goes on with the right amount of support, that parent will be able to find a way to celebrate his life or her life and not the death. There's another caller coming in. Let me bring them in at this moment. Hang on.
Mm-hmm.
Good evening. Welcome to the show, caller.
Hi, Katie.
Oh, hi, Darlene. Guys, is our partner. How are you?
Hi, baby. How are you? Hi, panel.
Hello, Darlene. How are you?
Hi.
All right, we're touching on dealing with ignorance while you're dealing with the death of a child, while you're grieving the death of your child. And one of the things that I was bringing up was not just something that someone wrote in an article, but something that we hear commonly being said when people on the whole don't know how to deal with the death of a child. A child's death is really hard to deal with from everybody's angle because no one expects a child to die before their parents, period.
Mm-hmm.
So we are speaking on certain terms that are used and was trying to think, how do you feel about things like everything happens for a reason? Have faith and you would feel better. Time heals all wounds. They're in a better place. Don't worry, you have other children. You can have other children. At least they did this. At least they did that. The at least ones, I think, are one of the worst.
No.
They're one of the worst.
Wow.
So your opinion...
Well, my opinion, I don't have firsthand experience on losing a child, but I do have firsthand experience on missing your child and being in a position where but you can't touch him when you want, you can't talk to him when you want, or you can't hold him when you want. It's a similar sense of a loss. However, you know, just knowing that they're alive, it gives you some ease. But the fact still remains that you can't touch them, talk to them, hold them, and things like that when you want. I do know that people do not know how to give encouraging words to someone who has had a loss. The worst thing you can say is that they're in a better place. The worst thing that you can say is that, oh, you can have more children. The worst thing that you can say is that, oh, well, they lived, you know, for a person that might be even older in his or her life and still yet be a child. Well, at least you got to enjoy them. You know, people really don't know how to have a compassion. And I'm a firm believer in, you know, respecting everyone's religious beliefs, but I do feel that there's a fine line, you know, in imposing your belief system on someone else's. We all can believe in the same God at the same time. However, your understanding and your connection with God can be totally different from mine. So, well, God had a better, you know, God had other plans, or, I mean, you know, all those things do not equate, or it doesn't amount to easing any pain. Even though it is very true that time healed all wounds, because I lost my husband 12 years ago. He wasn't my child, but he was my everything. We shared everything together. He was my partner, my love, my buddy, my friend, and all that. And he was taken from me by a drunk driver. And the trauma that it caused me in my life, 12 years later, I still mourn him. The taking of a life is the taking of a life. I'm not at liberty to say if the pain is worse or if the pain is the same. But for me, pain is pain. And at the time, I was angry at the world, so it wouldn't matter what anyone said to me at that point in time. I just needed a hug. That's all I needed. I just needed a hug. I didn't need you to say anything to me. I just want to know that you will continue to pray for me, you know. And that's what I say to anyone that has taken a loss or who has had a loss. The only thing I can do for you is pray for you and your process.
Yes.
Right? Because time does heal. However, time doesn't erase.
No.
The loss, the memory, the laughter, the joy, the pain that you experienced with that person. No one can take that from you, you know, and no one can replace that in your life. That was that person. Only that person had that special gift to give you. And, you know, to seek it through someone else, you will become disappointed, you know. So on that note, Katie, you know, I be real careful when people are in mourning, because you can cause more harm with your words.
Absolutely.
Than you can by just giving them a hug.
Absolutely, darling.
Mm-hmm.
And I was speaking on things that were said to me as a grieving mother when my newborn died. It's 27 years later, and I haven't stopped grieving. The only difference with time that I notice is that I'm not stuck in my robe in the bed all day crying my eyes out, you know.
Right.
But does the pain go away? It absolutely does not go away.
No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't.
It eases up to the point where now you can breathe and you can move. But you never, the minute, like I think you and I spoke earlier where you said something very crucial, that the minute you remember that day, it's like the pain happened all over again. So you really have to understand that helping somebody is by asking them what they need. One of the things that a friend of mine told me, and her husband as well, they lost their baby to, I don't know if it was hit and run or drunk driver, I'm not sure, but I know it was vehicle related, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And my heart grieves with her and him every day. But one of the things that I actually said to them, and they agreed so hard, but I know that this is one of the things being said to them, is that everybody is like, you know, at least you have your other daughter. Or at least you're this. Those at least stuff usually is the beginning of the worst things that's going to come out your mouth. And, you know, the bereaved parent might be doing them a favor by saying, before you go any further, hush it right there. Just stop it right there. Because at least that there is no comparison, there is no justification, there's no amount of comfort you're going to get with some philosophical saying that is going to let you understand to let your child go. It's not going to work. There's nothing you could say. And a lot of people use that stuff where, oh, just have faith and time will heal everything. That's that little fallback, cop-out default thing they say. It's like people saying, oh, I dedicate to the Red Cross so that they can say they did something, you know, that people can relate to or find to be, worthy. No, you're talking to a parent that lost a real child, a real person. This the loss of a child above any type of other loved one loss has caused people to lose friendships, break up marriages, the grief that comes with that. Grief
you know
has
what
so
else
many
is it?
Faces. Yes, go ahead.
I'm sorry to cut you, but do you know what else is some dangerous words to say? Oh, girl, you got to move on.
Yep.
How do you tell somebody who's in so much pain that you couldn't even identify with at this point in time because you don't know how that person feels? Mm-hmm. How do you tell them to move on? You know, that's some ugly, you know, that's those words. So many people told me, oh, girl, how long it's been, or you haven't moved on yet. And I said to them, how do you move on with something that you have no closure to? How is that possible?
Wow. Well, so, you know, when somebody tells you that you're dealing with a death of a child or anybody that's really close to you, your loved one or anything, somebody tells you to move on, you can move on, but you don't never move on. You know,
no,
because as
I,
long as you're...
Go ahead. I feel like you can live on, but to move on...
No, that's never going to happen.
When you have no closure, it's hard to move on. You can live on. Mm-hmm. You can continue to live, but
correct,
to move
but as far
on,
as moving on, no, that's not going to happen.
That's what
not
I'm
happen.
Saying.
Yeah, so you know, it's you talking about a child that came from you, you know,
or
how
a husband or a mother.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Anybody that you love dearly, anybody that's been, you know, gone through some things with you in your life, you know, you can live on, but you can't just move on because if you
move
on, what does that mean? Am I supposed to forget about this person?
And
you know
what?
You can never do that.
I drew this conclusion, and this may not be for everybody, but it's for a lot of us, because I'm sure that no one has been that perfect child. No one has been that perfect wife. No one has been that perfect husband. There's something that you still want to say to the person who is no longer here. You have unfinished business.
Mm-hmm.
You have unfinished business. Oh, I wish I could have told her I loved her. Or I wish I spent more time with her.
Yeah.
Or I wish I... You understand? That's what keeps you in that mold, because you have unfinished business. You can only put closure to something that you closed. But if it's unfinished, it's not ever going to close.
You are absolutely right. Both of you touched on something that also is another part of outsiders' ignorance, you know, and if you are a person that is trying to do the right thing by a bereaved loved one, then this will be something you're looking to for information and not to feel offended by it. But the truth is that you really, when somebody is dealing with any type of extensive situation, be it a child is in the hospital and you don't know which way it's going to go, a loved one is in the hospital, you don't know which way it's going to go, a loved one is missing, you know, or you got a report that something happened and they got hurt, even if it wasn't about death at the moment. there's still even ways then that you need to really think about what you're saying. Remember that it's not about you. It's about them. It's about that person.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you agree with something that could have happened better or not, that particular moment is not about the way to go about it. You are supposed to understand that it's about that person. And the two mm-hmm. things that both of you, the two of you said one thing that both meant is a big thing to think about. A, you don't forget the person because they're no longer physically here. Mm-hmm. And B, closure is a big factor. Well, a 10-year-old girl that gets gunned down or hit or run down in her neighborhood while she's playing is not closure for a parent. Okay? It's not closure for a parent. It's not like she had an illness that was going on for some time and you were told that any type of impact could make it go happen. This child was healthy. She was playing and minding her damn business. How do you tell a parent to move on from that or that everything happened for a reason? What was the reason? These are things you don't say. You don't try to crawl your discomfort and say whatever comes to the top of your damn head. This is something that you have to really think through. Because when you're wondering why that person just raged off on you and you tried to be nice, that's why. To bereaved ears, to grieving ears, that didn't sound very nice at all.
Mm.
Move on already? From what?
No.
Some people don't have other children to distract on. Some people may never be able to have children. I brought up the story about the two toddlers in Long Island that were just found dead in their mother's pool. That mother had been trying for a while to get pregnant, lost quite a few pregnancies, and finally these babies came, and she lost them at only 3 years old. You don't think she's kicking herself? Oh my God, did I double check the back door? I should have done this. Do you allow me to finish just one point? That I was going to say is that grief has so many stages. My son died for something that even the medical officials have no answer for. But you don't stop blaming yourself. The night before my son passed away, he was crying nonstop. Like, the bottle didn't help. The bottle didn't work. The changing him didn't work. He gave him fresh sheets. I gave him a new bottle, fresh diaper, fresh t-shirt. All he wanted was for me to pick him up. But me, as a 19-year-old mother, was hearing all the so-called experts in the field tell me, oh no, you're going to spoil that baby. You can't pick him up that much. Oh my God, babies got to cry sometimes. If you pick him up all the time, you're going to be spoiling the baby. This is not the medical experts. This is the old school experts, the ones that, you know, had all the kids before you did. Telling you, no, pick him up. You fed him already. You hugged him a little while. And all I wanted to do at 19 was pick up my baby that day. The next morning, he did not wake up. So what the hell do you think I was spending all my time thinking about for that time? If only I would have picked him up, maybe he would have been alive.
Mm-hmm.
So grief comes in many damn stages. And people need to really watch what they're saying. People really need to watch what they're saying. I know you mean well, mom, dad, sisters, brothers, you know, friends. If you're uncomfortable with the length of grieving, then you need to step off if you can't do anything positive. But there's going to be a long period of time when the person loses their child where you're just going to have to understand they're not ready yet. I felt my arms hurt every damn day. My arms were hurting. Okay, my heart was hurting. It physically hurt to breathe. It hurt to stand up, like fibromyalgia, for those of you that suffer with it. It hurt all the time. It hurt to look at my daughter. It hurt to not look at her. It hurt to look at his crib. It hurt to not look at his crib. Because all I know was that I waited and waited for this baby to be born, and I had all this love to give and all these plans to love this child into an adulthood, to be able to see what my love was going to do for this child when he got older, and he never got a chance to even see his three-month birthday. For reasons that all the experts in the world with all the high degrees and the 4,000 years of college and the 90,000 hours and the internships and the hands-on, nobody could tell me why. So everything happens for a reason, and time heals all wounds. Tell that to my heart.
Mm-hmm.
You were saying, Darlene?
No, I was just going to add that even people who have long lengths of time with people with sicknesses and illnesses, you listen, you are never prepared. I don't care what nobody says. I don't care if we had 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, we knew they was dying 17 years ago. You are never prepared for somebody you love to leave you, to leave this earth.
You are not.
Right. And see, something that you can on, darling, is like sometimes in a situation like that, all of us don't say nothing because there's no right, really right words to say. You know, so an in-person or feel of some type of comfort during that time, then you're doing what you're supposed to be there for. You just be there for them. You don't have to say nothing. And a lot of times it's best not to say anything. You know, but just let them know that, you know, like you said, grab them and hug them, give them a hug. You know, and that means a lot. That goes a long way. A lot of people don't realize that.
Silence is golden sometimes.
It's better if people just ask them what they need. What is needed from them? It's better because believe me, a believing person, they will tell you. Even if they don't utter a word, they will tell you what you need to do. If they are going to the drawer and pulling out the old photo album and they are crying because they're looking at their child and they're going through whatever, they might want to smile through those tears about the time that the baby was, you know, trying to get on the bike and, you know, was too big for them or whatever the case is. The silliest things might give them some weird comfort at that moment. Mm-hmm. Join in with them. Join in with them. It may not make a damn bit of sense to you, but it's not for you to be sensible about it. It's for them to get through it. They need to, you need to understand that a person in grief needs to be able to make it through the next second, not another day, the next second. And when a person lost their child, the next second counts. Mm-hmm. They need to have that room to say, today I made it through the next second. And every time they look back, oh, wow, I was 3 seconds today. And you need to understand it. And if you don't understand it and you truly can't be that objective person, then you really do need to do them the justice of saying, I can't do this the way you need me to do it. Sometimes we don't need anything except for you to just be quiet and be there.
Mm-hmm.
Or to let us know that, yes, you know, yeah, it's crazy, but you're allowed to be crazy today. You know?
Right.
Grief comes in many stages. It projects itself in many different ways. It's nasty. It's lousy. It has many hats, many horns, many faces. It comes quiet or it comes like a big barging, raging boat. It'll come on a day when you never expected to feel it. It'll come later on in life when, you know, some people are in shock for a while and then one day, boom, it all hits at once and they're doing something so off the cuff. There are so many different things that happens. And losing a child, which is the big issue we're speaking on tonight, is something that not even society can accept and understand. You think about it. The meanest person hears about a child dying and they're like, oh, my God. And what's bothering me is that so much more child-related deaths are happening on a mass now. children in pools, kids in ravines, boating accidents, cars jumping curves, train accidents, drownings in the pool, children getting shot, parents beating up kids, parents, ex-parents coming in and kidnapping. All of these things are happening, and more bereaved parents are coming forth and coming out of the woodwork. And never before has children ever been such a target.
Mm-hmm.
Universally, cosmically, or otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
And it is one of the worst types of loss to deal with. Cannot explain how your child did not get to live the legacy beyond you. And it's one of those deaths. You know, if it was like a child driver, you know, a driver-related accident,
mm-hmm.
and that person got out and said, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean it. It was this. And you know this. A lot of it's one of those things, and I've seen this happen. I've seen so many people speak on it. It's just one of those things that as much as you can see the remorse in that person, you really just can't forgive them because it's your child. It takes a lot out of you to say, I forgive you. Or a spouse, for that matter. Those are two very intimate, different, unique, special, private, personal, sacred connections that kind of supersede everything else. Your sibling connection, your parental connection. Losing those two things are one of the worst types. You don't get to laugh so quickly after their death, even when years have passed.
Mm.
I used to try to wonder which was worse, losing your child early or losing them after a while. And then I thought about it. It's a equal loss either way you look at it, but if somebody was 10 years old, you got a whole lot more memories that was taken from you. You got to see them when they were in kindergarten. You got to see them when they were starting to develop or nearly developing their first crush. You got to see them when puberty was about to strike. You got to say something about them. Oh, she used to love to dance. Oh, he used to love to ride the bike. He used to love the WWF guys. There's not much you could say about a newborn, but it is so new and it's your life and you just had them that. It's like, why would there be anything that would take them? What could possibly have been wrong or gone wrong? And that's why not knowing how to deal with your own discomfort and figuring I might as well go for the best answer or put a best guess out there, this is not a multiple choice question test. You don't get to erase it and fill in another bubble. What comes out your mouth stays out your mouth. And many people have lost relationships and don't even know why. Some can be repaired later when the grief passes a bit, and some never do. Why risk it? There are things that people, oh, now you'll have another one to replace them. Oh, you got married again. What does that have to do with the fact that there was a person before them that gave me different memories, that was a different person all to themselves? You don't forget. The love you had for that person was for that person. The person that they were the person that they were. And yes, later down the line, you can look back and say, I can now celebrate the life and time that I had with them, but that's not what you need to hear while you're grieving. You also don't need to be told that your grieving point should have come to an end, that there's an expiration on it. You should, come on, move on by now. You're hanging on to him too much. Who gives you that right to determine when a parent is supposed to let go of their child or stop grieving for their child? there's a gap between support systems and people that are just ignorant and don't want to do anything any different. That is where we're at. So, Deacon, you were speaking. You sound like experienced. So, tell me something you've gone through. I know that you've lost quite a few loved ones in your life. And
Well, it's like I lost a niece, a nephew, a grandson to violent death, but that's still something that hurts me very deeply. And that's something you're not going to get over, because they're always going to be with you, but there's always just that feel of like as Darlene said, no closure. You know, so if you don't get that closure, you're always going to feel like that void in your life, period. You know, so I feel like that about my niece who was violently killed. Like, you know, I think about her all the time. And it's like that's something you're not going to. You can work through it. You can live your life like we said before. You can live your life, but it's not something that's going to leave you. You're going to always have that hurt right there. But all at the same time, in some kind of crazy way, you find comfort somewhere, some kind of way. You know, so you don't steady dwell on something like that, because if you dwell on something like that will eat you alive. So you have to get some type of comfort. And then that's where your spirituality has to come in, too. You have to hold on to your spirituality, because if you don't hold on to your spirituality and your hope, you don't have anything. So, you know, and that's just part of being human. You know, like you said, nobody's ever been perfect. You know, and we're never going to be perfect. And, like, that's just us. That's just part of being human. So we're all going to get better. We're all going to have something in us that hurt that's never going to leave. So.
Right. And then the other thing that I wanted to bring up is, for those of you just joining us here today, there's another bad twist that people put out there to misconceptions and misconceptions about, you know, faith and grief. Grief has nothing to do with a lack of faith. Grief is a human reaction to something that happened in the moment. And people have to stop making it seem like things are happening or they're still grieving because they're not believing. It's not about that. This is something that you are going through. You don't have the qualifications to put a stop on it. And closure is a big issue. Because even if you knew exactly why your child died, or why exactly your husband died, or your spouse died, you still don't understand. If it was a car crash, why did that driver have to come around and be drunk that day? Why did he have to come through my block? Why did my child have to be involved? There's still that question. So the point is understanding not what type of grief you're going through, not why the person's grieving, not why they're still grieving, but understanding that they are grieving and there's a way and time and method in which they're dealing with it. Now, if it comes to the point where it's unhealthy, like they're not trying to deal with it or they're trying to keep the child alive in a wrong type of manner, as if the child is sitting at the table right now, then that's something that you need to say, okay, let me figure out a way where I can get them the type of help they truly need. That they could talk about it the way they need to talk about it and understand that they can keep the child alive, but they have to understand that the child is not physically here. But even that takes patience, and it takes some tact, and it takes some discretion in how you're going to present that, because that still can be taken as a way of saying you're trying to get me to erase my child's memory. You don't forget your loved ones. You don't move on with time. You don't stay in the same type of debilitating, you know, you don't stay stuck in your robe, wrapped in a cocoon, locked in your room all your life. You don't. But you never stop feeling that pain. And every time you remember it, that pain is just as fresh as if it happened that same day. So these things have to be brought to the situation. Now, I wanted to know, have to be brought to light. That's what I meant to say. What can we do? I think like support groups are out there. Should I think even in support groups, sometimes parents tend to think that the way they're grieving is a better way to do it. You know, even that, like, it gets to that point where you even get sensitive about what other people say about the way you're grieving, or when other people say, well, I've been handling it this way and it's sort of been helping me, or it's been getting me through. And other people feel like, well, I'm not finished grieving at all, so how could you be happy and our children die the same way? So how do we figure out a way where we can bring some middle ground? And I'm saying this too because on the Edge Networks, we're trying to bring all of these type of community things where we can build some solutions. So what do we do? What do we find out, or, you know, what is it that we could get to that maybe can bring this more to the light and bring more of a solution to this? Do we educate loved ones? Like, do we start a bereaved loved ones, you know, support group, not just for the bereaving parents, but teaching people around them what the signs could be as people who've walked this walk before? Would that help?
Well, there needs to be something set up, like a program for bereaved parents or just people that are just bereaved, to let them know that people are praying for them and people are trying to help encourage them as much as we can. But as far as that goes, they have to take a look at themselves too and try and, you know, get their way and press on through life and just be here and live life for that person that they love. You know, so this way their memory is going to continue to live on. You know, because that's the only way we can get some type of peace. I'm not going to say we're going to get that full peace, but we'll get some type of peace with ourselves. You know, because they're going back into a spirit. That's where they began. That's where I call our first love, before we even became a tear or either a speck in our mother's womb. So, you know, and we have to be strong enough to try and keep ourselves focused and hold on to our faith. That's where faith comes in again. You know, and if you can't lose faith and you can't lose hope. You lose those two things, that's really what is important. That's more important than another person talking to you. You hold on to your faith because that's a faith, something that you can do, or someone that you can talk to that you can really get some type of relief from.
I agree with you, Deacon, but the problem with that is, and there's one problem with that is, that in that deep time of grieving, and then the people around them that's trying to console them and don't know how, in that moment, as much as you love God, love Jesus, believe in Him, I mean, I can tell you, I've never once wavered in my faith, but that pain is real, and you still are not really, even God isn't a comfort at that moment. So how do we get to the point of the people around them? And that's what I'm saying. We do know that our faith is something that is a big point of success or moving on in life or progress. My whole thing is, though, before they can reclaim that or reconnect with that, how do we get the support groups that God put in place around them to be able to understand how to support them? Because a lot of times these misguided statements or these misguided points of consolation are coming out as wrong, because half of them just really want to get over the discomfort of it. They don't know what to say. They don't know what to do. So what can we do to help supporters properly support? So I was wondering, I mean, I'm glad, Darlene. I actually would like to hear you, what you think.
Well, as a person who, you know, sat in the house for 2 years and didn't come outside and didn't want to talk to anyone, didn't want to get no help, didn't want to see anyone, you know, and I thought life was over for me without my husband. Through my experiences, and I can only speak on through my experiences, my first suggestion, allow the person to mourn the way, the only way they know how to. And
correct.
By with me saying that, I think our approach would be detrimental for the end result. If you have a person who's in a lot of pain and they're grieving, they have all of these feelings that they don't know what to do with, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if a person came to me and if I'm going through all of these emotions and I don't know what to do with them, my suggestion is to let them know that it's okay. It's okay for you to feel that way. Stop denying people how they feel.
Right.
Oh, Don't you do that. It's okay to cry. It's okay to be angry. It's okay for you to feel however you feel. See, I didn't get that. I didn't get any of that. And maybe I would have handled my husband's death a little differently. But I didn't have nobody as a support group to let me know that. You know what? It's normal. Because any death, it's a process. Bereavement is a process.
Yes.
Okay? Because first I felt angry. Then I felt mad.
Right.
Then I want to hurt everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's steps. It's steps. And as time goes on, you learn to accept that step. And then as time goes on, you learn to accept that part of your process. Then you learn that part. It's steps, baby steps. Because you feel angry. You mad. You don't like nobody. You don't want to talk to nobody. You angry at God. You go through all of that. You go through all of that. But the beautiful part is that to know that it's okay. And to know that it's natural for you to feel that way. It's not comfortable when you feel like I'm wrong for feeling this way. You are never wrong for feeling the way you feel about your process.
Mm-hmm.
We need to stop taking people's rights away from them like that. Like I said, it's okay. I went through that, and 12 years later, if I hear anybody say to me that my husband is in a better place, I will still get offended.
Exactly. I think that's one of the ultimate wrong ones to say. In a better place, than what? Than me? Than my love, than my heart?
Mm-hmm. But like I said again, and I stress that, Katie, it is so important for us to let a person know that it's okay to feel that way.
Yeah, for you to feel that way, yes, of course.
That is what I believe should be the next main thing that happens. I think there's so many support groups out there for people who actually went through it, but not enough training or support groups for people who are the loved ones of these bereaved victims. Because if you're in the mess, you can't fix the mess. And that's what I feel. And, you know, that you can't know how to get out of your grief if you're so deep in it. And people who are grieving with you but don't have that deep connection into the grief, you know what I mean? Like, if I'm an auntie and I love my nephew, yes, I'm going to grieve and I'm going to feel that pain for my nephew, and I'll always cry and I'll always feel that way, but never more than their parents.
Mm-hmm.
Never more than their parents, than my nephew's parents. So that type of grief, that's the type that you'll never, ever be able to feel. And my thing is, there's probably times that you watching your brother or your sister or your daughter or your son going through such pain, and it's killing you because you don't know what to do. And, you know, if you're a mom, the mommy stuff ain't working anymore. So if you lost your granddaughter or your grandson, you know the pain of how it would feel if you lost your own child, but you don't know how to stop that pain for your daughter, and you can't stand them going through it, and you want to put an end to that. You can't put an end to it by making your pain go away with what you say. With some safety word, you know, like a safety default word. Oh, God will work through it. God's going to have your back. Yeah, but God also understands that there's a process that humans go through because he created them.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so we're busy putting something on God that even God is saying, you know, back off. She's allowed. The worst thing you could do to a parent is to invalidate or disqualify their right to feel for their kid, their right to call their child alive and well. In the funeral home, my son was still my son. In the casket, my baby was still my baby.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't matter that he wasn't breathing. He was my baby. That's all that mattered. There's no way you can disqualify, invalidate, dismiss that type of love and grief in a person. There's no way you can do that. I'm gonna tell you just how bad it was. My godbrother was actually the mortician. He was the person that was actually in there, the funeral home, the undertaker, whatever it is everybody called them at this day and age. He was the person that was prepping my son in the funeral home. And I was insistent on helping them do everything. Because that was my baby, and I still was feeling like you have to handle him a certain way. I was insistent. And he said to me, hold on. Mommy, there's no way I could understand what you are feeling right now, but I can promise you this. Please allow us to just put on his diaper and his T-shirt because you're grieving now. But when you are at that point where you could see a little clearly, if you remember seeing your son's autopsy scar, that's going to affect you more than his death. So allow us to at least do that, and we'll let you do the suit and everything else. And I'm kind of glad that I agreed, because I don't know now that I'm able to talk about my son and you know, I can breathe. I don't know if I would have been able to deal with remembering the scar on my son's body.
Right. Now listen to this, what you're saying. Listen to what what you're saying, right? Okay, when you were going through what you were going through, did you think you would ever make it through that or to get to a place that where you are today?
No. Believe me when I tell you.
Yeah. But see, that's why I tell you we in a way we the hurt doesn't stop. The hurt is still there. It may not as burn as bad when it was just like it was fresh,
right.
But that wound still seems when you sit back and just you yourself sitting back and you alone by yourself, that hurt's still there. That hurt is still there. It's always gonna be there. And they tell you like, well, a person during that time don't want to hear about God, but you have to include God in that in order for you to get through what you're going through. Because if
that's
not,
true.
You're going to be like in a straitjacket. You know, so we
God
have to.
God always
we have to
has
deal with
a way.
Hmm?
I'm sorry. God always has a way of making you know it's time for you to see me again.
Right.
At that,
right.
At
but
that
also,
point
he,
in your
at,
life.
At the same time, he wants to reassure you the whole time. We're always going to have our human side. We always going to do that. And he already knows that before we even get there. So. Once we go through that, there's a comforting part of God that a lot of times when we go through our deepest part of grief, we're not paying attention to that. We're just dealing with us. We're just dealing with our grief. But after a while, as time goes on, we seem to be getting it gradually, and as we start getting it gradually, we're building. Hello?
Yes.
Oh,
and which brings
okay.
us back to trying to understand, to trying to get the people around the bereaved and the grieved to understand why not saying the wrong thing is so important. Because while you're going through that period where you're disconnected from the comfort of your faith, when you're disconnected mm-hmm. from the comfort that God has to offer. You mm-hmm. don't need people making you angrier, making you feel
you
like you got to embrace your grief even more because they're trying mm-hmm. to get you to dismiss your child's memory or to dismiss your child. And that is an issue, which brings me back to stating maybe we should start looking into having grief training, you know, grief supporter training. People who want to be, you know, they have it for grief counselors. They have it. They have a little script there where they tell you, don't mention this, say this. Why can't this be given to people who are in the family? Why can't this be given to the third or once removed, you know, relative or the people or friends? And then teach people who are supposed to be, I guess, the assigned, you know, bereavement consoler that look out for people who are not going to obey these rules and make sure they're not around this person at this particular time. Progress happens with time, and people need to understand mm-hmm. that. You cannot jump start or, you know, you cannot skip and jump away from procedure. But there's a protocol in progress. You have to go through the hard stuff in order for you to realize it was the hard stuff and start seeing a better light. What can you compare a good thing to if all you see is the bad? What can you know that something is bad if all you've been around is good? So that there's an even balance about everything. But while you are grieving, you cannot let somebody feel that crying or trying to look at their... You ever see people do this? Oh, honey, don't look at that. It's just going to bring up bad memories.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the only thing I have of that.
Right.
Okay. There was this. You know, the little onesies that you buy the babies and everything, and they used to make like little cute things to mimic adult things in a baby. So I remember that one of the things I had gotten as a baby shower gift was a little tuxedo onesie for my son. It was like a pajamas that you zip up, and it looked like a tuxedo when you zipped it up.
Sure.
And I thought it was the cutest thing in the world, and he got to wear it one time. When he passed away and we buried him, I held on to that, and I wouldn't let anybody touch it or wash it or anything because it smelled like him. And I was so angry when people were telling me that I needed to not do that to myself. I said, no, you need to stop doing it to me. Like, let me do this. This is my son, and I did this, and leave me alone. If you don't understand what I'm going through, you don't need to be here. And I've said this in not nice ways to many people at that time. There is so much that you don't understand. That's the only thing I had of him that was physical and real at the time. I had my memory, sure. I had still the postpartum cramps from the baby, sure. I had all of these things, but that was the one thing that was good and physical for me. We didn't even have enough time to take a lot of pictures of him. He died so quickly. So who are you to tell me what's not valid and not allowed or not proper or not okay? If it gave me comfort, why would you think it was wrong?
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
And who the hell are you to determine what is a right comfort piece and what isn't? That's like telling a little kid that their blanket that they love so much or feel safe with is not real. Their teddy bear is not a real comfort thing. Who are you to determine that for them? Who are you to go into somebody's eyes and mind and soul and say, this is wrong? If a person is telling you in their grief, I can't bear to look at his things, you know that means pack it away. If a person is sitting there and they're opening up all the memory boxes, and yes, they're crying when they're looking, but it's giving them comfort, you leave them the hell alone. And you be there for them for if they should have a manic episode, if you want to call it that, you know, where they're going to get loud and whatever the case is. You're there to make sure. Right. You're there to make sure they don't hurt themselves. You're there to hold them and say, you know, I got you and I know what you feel and I'm here with you. Right now, you know, let's think about the good things about this person. What did they do to make you smile? And eventually you're going to be able to get to that point where you can grieve and still talk about them. And that's what you need to do. You need to let them understand that they are valid in feeling what they feel, that it's perfectly okay, that there's no grieving manual that says, by now you should be on section 4.37, blue section, freaking cow.
Wow.
I like that, Katie.
That's where we're at, and that's what needs to understand. That's what they try to do, because people are uncomfortable with, I'm going to say this again, people can accept death, but they cannot accept that children die. It's the worst type of feeling. It's uncomfortable. It's so tragic in your mind that you cannot fathom that you're supposed to let a person grieve the same way they would grieve if they lost another person. People don't want to accept that babies die the same way a lot of people don't want to believe women can commit the crimes men do. There's got to be a reason. There had to be something. Something had to be down there. They can't believe that children can die. And dealing with that loss is uncomfortable. Watching a mother go nuts because there's no type of grief like watching somebody who lost their spouse, as you, Darlene, or a parent who lost their child. Nobody knows how to deal with that type of pain, especially when a man is crying for his son or daughter. Because that's the one, I'm going to tell you one thing right now. That is the one things that no society ruled about men supposed to be big, strong boys. Men will break that rule in a minute for their children. So all that, you look soft, whatever, that crap is out the window when a man just lost his child. So nobody knows how to deal with the fact that a man is not thinking about looking macho when he's grieving for his kid. So how do you deal with that? Especially if this guy is the big, scary guy on the block or whatever the case is, and he's bawling like a little kid. Why? Because he lost a big piece of him. He lost the one piece in the world that nobody could replace, even if they gave him 13 more.
Mm-hmm.
My son was almost three months old, and he's still my son. He's the firstborn son I had. Nobody, as many children as I have now, still replaces them. I lost twins in the process, too. Guess what? Nobody can replace those twin girls either. And I have twins after her. So, what are you saying? You have to be educated on dealing with grief. It will save a lot of people from acting out and taking their rage out on the world because they never had a chance to properly expel with their grief or deal with their grief. Mm-hmm. Or have the right people letting them know it's okay to feel that way and nobody's going to ever take that away from you.
Right.
I don't know about you, Darlene, but I know that even on days when I'm not crying, that automatically, without even me, thinking about it, there's certain days of the year that I'm down and things seem to be going wrong or that everything is just not good that day. And then when I look up at the calendar, it's a date, like his birthday or the day that he died or the day that
exactly.
I buried him.
Exactly.
So people don't get that. Even when you're not thinking about it, it's like there's this subconscious spiritual connection to that person and something about them is around you. So you're trying to tell somebody that there's a timeline, like I said, a training protocol status progress report. There is none.
Well, I will say that, it actually took me 10 years, 10 years of going back to where he was hit and killed, putting up balloons for him every year, putting his picture up every year, not going out on July 4th. Only to go to where he was hit and killed and put balloons up and go back inside. I never could enjoy July 4th, okay? I never have enjoyed that day, and it's been 12 years to this day. it was so traumatic for me that I haven't had a full night's sleep in 12 years. And what I mean by that is that I was woken up out of my sleep by a bang on the door, which was the police, the detectives. And they said, are you so-and-so? And I said, yes. They said, well, we need you to come with us. And I said, what? You need me to come with you? And every 2 hours, I wake up. It took me 2 hours to find out my husband was dead. It took me 2 hours to get myself together for me to go view his body, to identify his body. At that 2 hour window, I have not slept in 12 years, a full night. I wake up every 2 hours to this day.
Well, I know that feeling. I remember that day. I spoke to the panel about this, and I've had the segment where I spoke on this. I remember that day that he died. We mm-hmm. were. I kept waking up every 15 minutes on the nose, for no damn reason. I just kept waking up. From 4 o'clock in the morning, it was 4 o'clock, 4:15, 4:30, 4:45, on the nose. I would go back to sleep and kept waking up. Everything was silent. I didn't understand. I was trying to figure out what could it be. I checked. I looked in on the kids. I didn't pick any one of them up. But I looked in. They were both seemingly sleeping and still went back to sleep. At 7 o'clock in the morning, I could no longer go back to sleep. So the cycle continued up until that hour. When I got up, my sister-in-law was sleeping in the front room. She came to help me with the children because my idiot ex had been arrested, but we didn't know that at the time. And she was there helping me with the kids because the baby was a newborn and I was, you know, still in need of help and stuff. And so she came in. When I woke up, she heard me moving around, so she got up to come and help. And she went to take care of the baby because my older daughter had leaked through her pamper. So I went to go take care of her. She went to take care of the baby. And the words that I heard from her were, oh, my God, Kay, that the baby's not breathing. And I remember that split moment, my heart dropped. Like, I was like, what? Then my mind started to justify. No. That's not what happened. He's wearing his older sister's old sleeper, and it's a little big on him, so you can't see his stomach moving through it, so there's a big space there. And that's how the whole thing went all the way up until they announced that he was actually passed away. My mind and my heart denied what I saw versus what I believed or wanted to believe. And it went like that. So before the death even registered in my head, I was grieving but not grieving. I couldn't do anything but try to justify in my head that this isn't what I'm looking at. This isn't what I'm seeing. It didn't matter. I tried to give him CPR, and when I blew in his mouth, blood came out his nose. He was looking straight through me. It was like everything in the world telling me, you know what you're looking at. And my mind and my heart is going, nope, I'm just a mother. I don't know what I'm doing. The ambulance is going to know what they're doing. Nope, they're just the paramedics. The doctor will definitely know what they're doing. And when we got there, he still wasn't breathing, and they sat there and they said, go out. We got to deal with him. We got to take care of him. You got to stay outside. And then I'm locked in this room so that I can't go screaming hysterical. And when they came in, they still didn't give me the benefit of saying, your son passed away. They still gave me false hope. Oh, did your son have any problems breathing? Did you notice anything before? Yes, I did. I did. I was noticing he couldn't breathe. Every time we took a half ounce of milk, he couldn't breathe. He couldn't breathe. I kept telling them. I took him to the hospital 11 times. Well, you know, is there any medical things in the family? Nobody's saying a word. And that very last question, then they go, you know your baby passed away, right? So you're grieving and you're not grieving. They don't even give you the respect of saying, what they need to tell you. So all these things that people don't understand when they're trying to tell you to dismiss your loved one, to forget your baby right now, to move on, because guess what? You've been grieving for far too long. It's got to stop. And we need to educate ourselves on how to truly be supportive. So how to truly know how to help somebody helpfully get past the grief. To be whole when they come out at the other end of it. And just always have that little missing piece, that little hole in their heart, because that baby is there. But at least for the most part, they can survive again. But you invalidating their right to grieve and love and look at and see and feel and connect with and keep alive their loved one, that's not your place. And if you don't, because we are in our final 4 minutes, if you do not love yourself and that person enough to give them the right type of support, it'll never be a healthy recovery, and you may not have a relationship. And the grief may last way longer than in a full strength capacity than it should be. You got to help them understand that they need to be able to breathe through the next second, not the next minute, not the next day, the next second. And then they got to have their days where they don't feel like it. Then they're going to have their days where they want to be out there and they still may blow up and they still may do whatever. And we have to let them know we understand. And what do you need from us now? What can we do to help you? What do you feel like doing? What do you want to do?
Right.
So I have to wind down, guys, and I want to thank you both. Oh, my God, it's so wonderful having a game back. But I truly want to thank you, and I want to thank my fibromyalgia support team and my heart disease team that's out there looking, waving at you guys for all your comments. And also to those of you that are out there who are grieving, I'm going to say this to you. You are perfectly well within your rights to want to keep child alive as you see fit. Allow yourself to grieve, because if you're still feeling it at a certain capacity and it's not going away, that means that part of your grief is not over yet. But do seek help. Go speak about it with the counselor. Seek out whatever type of counselor makes you feel comfortable. Somebody who specializes in child death, somebody who's a Christian or believes in what you believe in, someone who can understand what it's like, and somebody who's never going to invalidate your right to feel something for your child. Anybody who doesn't understand that may not be conducive to you getting any better. But seek out professional help, because I will tell you this, even with all in the world that you have, if you don't have somebody who can tell you something from a fresh perspective, to be able to help you see your grief from a different angle where you can actually overcome it, you'll be stuck there, and then you won't be able to reconnect with your faith. You'll never be able to understand the strength and the power in what God has to offer if you believe in God and understand that. So get out there and try to give yourself the respect and give your child the love and respect that you gave them in life by allowing you to get through your hard grief and be able to celebrate his or her life. So until tomorrow night, everybody, be blessed, be a blessing, make a difference. I am so proud to see all of you out there loving yourselves and trying to make some improvements so that all of us can have a better world to live in. So until tomorrow night, everyone, be blessed, be a blessing. And let me say thank you to our sponsor once again, Mr. Derek Bell, the founder of Eat It Treats, one of our On the Edge Networks companies. I want to thank you very much for everything that you do to behind the scenes, up front, and side by side. Darlene, same to you. Deacon, same to you. I will see you guys here tomorrow.
All right.
Good night, Katie. Good night, panel.
Good night.